if I was in school the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's crazy.
I'm going to assume it's because I look like I'm young. And mm-hmm. and not because I sound like I should be in school.
Hey, my podcast already.
Shit. I'm Javi Luna, husband, father, and oh yeah, stand-up comedian. I've been fortunate enough to spend over a decade traveling the country, making audiences laugh. But my favorite audience is the one right here at home in Corpus Christi, Texas. My wife and co-host, Jen. Once a week, we sit down and have a chat. There's other podcasts like this, but this one's mine. And that makes it original. Pop it up, my friend. How's it going? Welcome out to the Original Gordito Podcast. Woo-hoo. Don't ask me what episode it is. You know, you see it on 145. You see, oh, did you do your research?
I remembered last week you were like, I got 144.
There you go. There you go. Here I am. I'm drinking. I don't always drink on the podcast, but we had leftover beer from our failed
our failed attempt
at a boxing party.
It was so failed
as it. We have friends. I swear we do.
We do.
Our friend group's very busy. You know, yes. everyone's got young kids.
Young kids. Jobs.
Yeah, there was at one point where all our kids were already, like we're all older.
Right.
Like bigger, like 7, 8.
Right.
You know, Not toddlers.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, I feel like we all like decided to like, or at least half of us either decided to hey, let's have another kid.
Let's have babies.
Or let's start a whole brand new relationship, which is very similar to
a new baby,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
A new relationship. You gotta take care of it.
You gotta nurture it.
Posture it, feed it every couple of hours. And you can't just let it.
No.
Wander off.
Exactly.
So we hadn't gotten together with our friend group in
like, a while. Yeah.
We've seen like birthday parties.
Sure.
It seems like the most times we see each other now
are
at the kids' birthday parties, right? Because we always make it a point to go to those. But like just to get together just because usually it's like now, you know, Friendsgiving is our big one.
You have to excuse me, I'm sorry.
We do. And no, they don't have to excuse nothing.
Yes, my allergies are bad this week.
And so we tried to have a little boxing get together here because I just got hooked up with a package where I get some of those pay per view things, and of course I wanted to try it out before I recommended
to
anybody. So I was like, hey, well, the Canelo fights this weekend. My Gordito de Mayo show was the night before, and we'll get to that in a second.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I was like, so let's do a little box. I liked boxing growing up. Mm-hmm. Like I remember my uncles would always, you know, pitch in and get the pay per view for the Chavez fights and De La Hoya and the Tyson fights. I mean, I grew up in the 90s. I felt like there was just
it was huge.
Boxing was huge, and then of course it hit. I felt like it started to hit a decline. Of course. Yes, MMA and whatever, UFC. Mm-hmm. But they also just got really silly with, like, what the pay-per-views, like, are...
Like, what they're charging?
What they're charging.
Yeah.
For,
well, see, I never paid for any of that
for
stuff,
them.
So I don't know.
Yeah, and then Menos, you know, going to a bar...
Yeah, see, that's what I always did.
And crowding in with a bunch of yahoos, and you can't even hear the fight commentary. Yeah. Not that I really care about the commentary, but I do like to be able to hear it. You know, and it's just, there's just people...
It's just a lot of noise, and it makes it hard.
Yeah, right.
I get that.
And you're not comfortable. I much prefer watching it at home. So this is the first time that I was like,
let's do it.
Shit, I don't got to pay nothing for it right now. Yeah. Let's check it out. And so, and then everybody ended up getting sick. There's like a little bug going around right now.
Yes.
And we're out of town or whatever.
Out of town.
So we ended up like last minute, like. We had one person stop by. Shout out to Deb.
Yay, Deb!
So I had a lot of beer left over. So I was like, you know what? I can't let this beer just sit there for indefinitely because we've done that before.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, now
that
backtrack.
It was fun.
We had a great. We ended up just hanging out. You, me, and
Lindsay. Some nachos. was.
And it was cool. It was good. Yeah, it was definitely not nice. One little bit of quiche on the fight. The odds.
I forgot about that.
The odds were absolutely ridiculous on it. It was like something like -1600.
Oh my god!
For Canelo to win, was the only like logical bet. Like, you know, yes. What I'm saying? Like if you were betting the underdog, he was such a heavy underdog. But you would also just to win $100. That means you have to bet 1600.
Yeah.
So I did a little parlay with it and was able to actually make it worthwhile.
Nice.
I still won less than what I wagered, but it made it worth. Worthwhile,
definitely.
You know, little fun. I like betting literally for the sport of it. I'm not like a big gambler or anything like that. Don't like send me the hotline or anything in there. I bet just for the excitement of having a little action, just a little bit. But backtracking a little bit to Gordito de Mayo.
Yes, that was so much fun.
Thank you, San Antonio, man. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Out, guys.
Yeah, I did, man. We didn't sell it out, you know, but it's okay. Fuck all y'all that didn't come. Not kidding. No, man, so it's just, it's great to see the growth and the difference in the ticket sales from the last time I went to San Antonio in October.
Yeah.
So now, people coming out. New followers coming out, people that are just starting to find me on social media. I love seeing I always love the people that just come
right all
the time. Like, those are the people that amaze me, right? It's one thing for people like, oh, I saw them, let's go check them out. To like, man, y'all already seen me, and I love that because me, one, you're really truly a fan. Two, I like to believe that y'all trust me enough to give you something a little different each time. Even if it's some of the jokes you've heard them before, even if you've even heard them a few times, I always hear that. Oh, well, we really like them. Sometimes people still request jokes from like 5-6 years ago.
Right.
You know, so that's always fun to watch. But I think also like some of these newer fans over the last few years, I think they, you know, they pay attention and they acknowledge when there's new stuff. Like, oh man, that was all brand new. Or I like the new one about, you know, so-and-so, and I did an hour and 5 minutes,
crazy.
I think, on stage, which, this past year has probably been the first time that I get to do that much time consistently, where it's my shows, and I don't have to get off by a certain time.
Right.
And I love it, because then I get to try new, longer bits, you know, right. Versus where an open mic, yes, you can try out new material, but you're really limited to 4 minutes, and my comedy is a little bit longer form. You know, some of my bits, you know, clock in between 7 and 10 minutes, depending on what it is I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, because I'm the type of comedy writer, I try to leave no meat on the bone, if possible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I will beat a horse to death. I have, on stage, I got no problem with it. You know. And so it was great. It was a great part. All the comics on it. Shout out Miguelito from Corpus. I think it was his first time hosting a public show for me.
Oh yeah.
He did a great job, man. I'm very happy with his performance, and he was a good car ride.
Yeah, he rode.
Yes, he talked just the right amount. You know, he didn't. You know, it wasn't like just nonstop gabbing. He did his thing, and you know, it was good.
Yeah,
it was
good times, dope.
For sure. And of course, Danielle Torres, unfortunately, was supposed to feature. If you went out to go see her, sorry you didn't get to see her.
Yeah.
Fortunately, she was under the weather. One of our close friends that got sick this weekend. They probably would have been here otherwise. And so I called on a couple of San Antonio comics to come out to kind of help fill that time. One of them, Big John Betez, Big John 747. Shout out, man. I had never worked with him before.
I never heard him.
I've met him before. He's come out as a fan before. Mm-hmm. I knew that he does comedy. He kind of does his own self-produced kind of shows. He doesn't really kind of from what I can see, mingle in the scene too much.
Okay.
In fact, he's doing a show. If you saw him this weekend, he's doing a show back at Upstage, his own show, nice. June 10th.
Go see him.
Go see him. He did a great job, yeah. And hopefully that's a fun part about getting to go out and do these headlining these towns and clubs that I've never headlined before is getting to find who I can work with towns, because sometimes it's not plausible to always take an opener
right
with you at the amount of tickets that I'm currently selling. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing when you're selling out, you can kind of afford to bring whoever you want with you.
Right.
At this level, it's more plausible to work with local comics. You know, yeah. They're already there. Don't need a hotel. don't need all that good stuff. And of course, and then we had Mary Picarazzi. Mm-hmm. She
nice.
Did a show, so sweet, and she did a little guest set. And Drew Blues, another guy. Did a great job out there. Super, super fun, high yes. energy. So it was just a great, it ended up being a great, fun show. Shout out to Upstage Comedy Club.
Yes.
Nice. You liked it. You had never been there.
No, and it's beautiful, and the staff were amazing.
It is.
I loved it.
Agree.
It's a great club.
Bobby Smith and his partner Calvin have just done a fantastic job. It's good. It's a great alternative. Right there's the bigger club there, the larger club, LOL, mm-hmm. and this is of course very akin to the kind of the situation that we have here in Corpus, where it's a big room and it's great if you can sell 300 plus tickets,
right?
You know, but there's a lot of comics that are really talented. Case in point, they can't sell that much. Right. Yeah, we don't have that large of a fan base. But at the same time, we're not at the level where we should be doing bar shows
or only
bar shows. Right. Exactly. You know, so you want something a little nicer in the round, yeah. 80 to 100 seat mm-hmm. kind of round.
Right.
And he's, I think he's doing a great job.
The vibe feeling
that
way. Great.
And the good part about those rooms, you said, like, well, 100 seats isn't that great. Well, yeah, but then there's room to grow, right? Because if you're selling 100 seats, if you said sell 150, then you just do two shows.
Right.
Right. And there's kind of room to grow there. So I'm very happy. Like I said, I think that the club was happy. We definitely mm-hmm. want to do something. I'm going to stay there for a while. I'm going to grow with them as long as they'll have me.
Yeah.
And definitely I don't see any problem with that, because like I said,
we had a great
y'all
weekend.
Made that happen. Y'all bought the tickets. Y'all came out. Y'all,
it was so nice to see everybody.
Yeah. Got to see a couple of friends from college came mm-hmm. out. I had seen they last time I come to San Antonio, they had come out. They came out again. Like I said, some of those repeat faces. But I haven't seen much of them, even with those two times. Haven't seen much of them in the last almost 20 years.
That's crazy.
Hate to admit that. It hurts a little bit more when I keep doing that. We're not quite there. I started college in 2002.
Okay.
I graduated in 2006.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what I was saying. Yeah, yeah. 20, yeah.
You're old. Just.
Still young. Someone asked me if I was in school the other day.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's crazy.
I'm gonna assume it's because I look like I'm young, and not because I sound like I should be in school. I'm gonna for the sake of my self esteem. I'm assuming it's because of this baby face. Not like, are you in school? You probably should be.
I didn't even consider that when you told me the story. That wasn't even an option in my head. That's funny as fuck.
Here's the thing. Like, you know, I still sub, a few days out of the week or whatever. Yeah. But a good portion of my time is spent doing the booking and everything. So I pick up Lindsay.
Yeah.
So if I'm not subbing, I'm here at the house editing videos, working, making phone calls, emails, right. trying to get shows together and stuff like that. Sometimes I'm in some joggers and some sweats or and a t-shirt, mm-hmm. and I probably roll up and the guy probably looking at me like, what does this guy do? Exactly, because I don't advertise what I do. I'm like, hi, my name's Javi, I'm a comedian. Da, 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 da. No, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, no one needs to know. No, especially at my daughter's school, no one needs to know what I do or don't. Or don't do. In fact, the other day when I was subbing, I forgot what school I was at. So someone was like, oh, I hear you're a comedian. I think it was one of the principals or one of the deans at the school. And I was like, yep. And I just kept on walking. I'm not going to have that conversation with you. None of this.
You're like, no.
Look me up. None of that. I'm an undercover brother right there, man.
I like that.
Yeah. And I've always, here's the thing, I've always been like that. Even as an open micer, like it was a joke between my friend David Cifuentes, RIP, and myself, because he was the opposite. Like if I left him alone with somebody for like 2 minutes, I came back and they already knew that we were both comedians. Like,
oh, really?
Like, we would go eat at like Denny's or something, like after an open mic or whatever. I go to wash my hands. I come back and the waitress, they're like, oh, so where do you do comedy at?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay. We ain't got to announce. Especially at our level, but, you know, some people are like that. Some people can't, you know, it becomes such a huge part of their personality that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the joke when I first started comedy, there's always, whatever, call it gatekeeping or whatever. It's just fun razzing, right? You know, the joke when I first started doing comedy was do 2 open mics and changes their Facebook profile to comedian so-and-so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, and the big thing was a lot of people, you could always tell, like, people that they kind of jumped the gun and they put the branding before the product.
Oh, okay.
So to speak, it's a complaint. And you can say gatekeeping. And if this is you, I'm not making fun of you or whatever. It's just, this is, you got to see both sides of the coin. Does it seem a little silly? Yeah. It's like the people that are like, come up with a name of a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I should start a restaurant. It's like, no, bitch, you just came up with a name for a restaurant.
What else do you know about having a restaurant?
Just because you came up with a good name for the business doesn't mean there's nothing to promote yet. And so back when I started, you know, those people always are subject to a little bit of razz, right? So when I started, the big one was the business card.
Oh, okay.
Business card. People would do like 3 open mics, and then they print them out some fucking business cards.
Wow.
They said comedian on it, and it was absolutely hilarious. And so, I, as a contrarian myself, I refuse to print business cards to this day.
Yes,
to this day, I have never had a business card. The closest I've ever had was, for Vatos Locos, a comedy, we printed some, and I believe my number was on there at that point.
Okay.
But that's it. I've never had a Javi Luna business card, and it kind of became like a thing at some point, because people would ask for them, like, no. And now look at them. Who the fuck has a business? I like to think that I just had the foresight.
To skip that trend.
The obsolescence of business cards. How many of y'all are stuck out there with fucking boxes of business cards still?
True.
Right?
And then especially if they're not doing comedy anymore.
Right.
Oh, they got a lot of boxes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because everyone was ordering the Vistaprint
$25
for
yes.
for 100. You know what I'm saying? Like, who gives you a business card? I mean, I'll get one sometime from time, and I'm just like, can I just take a picture of this and give it back to you? Because
I'll lose it.
Don't want it. I still got a wallet full of people's business cards somewhere in a drawer. I lose
business cards.
It's silly now. Everything with link, everything is digital. You know, I have some like little flyers that I'll hand out that have my QR code and stuff like that on it. But now I feel like now that the business card's not a thing, now it's even evolved where now people start and they've done like 2 or 3 open mics and now they got merch.
Oh,
you know, it's even elevated. They're making the business card people look
like you didn't
look
know.
Sane. You know, so it's like, whoa, where are you selling this merch at the open mic? Like, what are you, where, like even, you know, back in the day, it used to be even weirder. You know, as someone starting out as an opener, you couldn't even sell merch. Now it's more socially acceptable.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. But I remember when I first started rolling with Chingo, you know, I was still that. I came up in the traditional form of comedy, where you know the host and the feature. Your job is to sell the headliner's merch. You're not selling your own merch. So when I showed up to his to a show in El Paso with 12 shirts. Because I was just, because I never rolled with a lot of merch because one, you would have to ask, you know, every headliner would be like, hey, do you mind if I sell some shirts, you know, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, that's fine. How much you sell yours for, or someone, you know, and you have to have that little conversation and you know, but working with someone like Jingo, who's just been so generous with his fans and with sales, I mean, he's always encouraged us to push our merchandise, you know. And I sold out, I think, like the first or second show, and he was all like, "What are you doing? You got to come with more. You got to come with more. What other shirts did you bring?" I was like, "About 12." He goes, "For 5 shows?" Yeah. I mean, I usually sell like 2 or 3 a show.
You know, had you told me that story before?
I think I've said, I don't know if I've told you that story or
that's funny.
Said, but yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And I was behind the eight ball on a lot of the merch game. I mean, I attribute a lot of, you know, I tell a lot of comics, you know, my big thing is I'm doing the things in the year 11, 12 that I should have been doing 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. You know, it took me a long time to learn through watching Chingo, through watching Midnight, how they worked their merch and whatever to kind of get my.
And now look at your merch.
And now the merch is doing well, man. Yeah. You know, I'm very happy that now I'm even printing my own shit. Got my own plancha and shit. Fucking yeah, man. You know, we're doing well with it. But yeah, that's the new thing. Young comic, that and YouTube channels, which I don't. You know, my thing on the shirts is don't invest so much in the shirts, because it's money that's going to sit there.
Yeah.
You know, stickers? I think stickers are
a great
investment.
Yes.
You know, get yourself a nice logo or whatever, because you can use that for multiple things. Mm-hmm. You know, you can use it for your YouTube channel. You could use it for your flyers and whatever. So I would just get yourself a good logo, get yourself some stickers. Those are good has your social media on it. They're cheap enough where you can kind of give them away without feeling like you're losing.
Right.
But to give a shirt away, I mean, now with shirt printing costs, I mean, you give someone a shirt, you're giving them damn near $15, depending on how many colors it has, what kind of shirt it's printed on.
Right.
You know, it's not like, you know, you're just giving them a $2-3 T-shirt.
Right. Exactly. You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, I'm definitely a fan of the stickers.
Yeah,
but it was great. Gordito de Mayo, man. You know, like I said, had a great time. Thank you again to everyone in San Antonio. Yes. I told y'all I would have some confirmations for y'all this week. Sugarland, Texas, which is right outside of Houston. I'm gonna make a weekend of it in Houston. June 16th, I got House of Blues with Chingo Bling and Bryson Brown. Ooh. Right, and as you know, on those shows, I do about 20 to 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get enough Javi, if you haven't seen Headline Javi,
oh, I like that.
You know, you're gonna get a chance to do it the next night. Okay. So even if you go to House of Blues, go see Chingo, go see Bryson, go see a little bit of me. The next night, I'll do my whole hour that I'm working on now. A lot of the stuff that's gonna be on the new special, plus some old stuff that wasn't on the special. And then just some mamadas, just randomness.
Whatever comes to you
know. Yeah, like this past week I did like 5 minutes on Bud Light. Is that going to be part of my set? No, that's not part of my set. I don't want to talk about current events on my shit, but that's why that's the stuff that I put up front. So you can come see me the next night at the Lounge at 6 in Sugarland. Not at 6 o'clock, but that's the name of the bar. The Lounge at 6. What time is the show? It's at 8. Okay, so it's at the Lounge at 8? No, it's the Lounge at 6. Okay, but what time is the show? At 7. Okay. It's called the Lounge at 6, and I don't know what time the show's going to be at. Follow me on social media to find out.
Very cool.
That working on Fort Worth, Texas. Just waiting on confirmation on that.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, looking forward to coming to a city near you. All right, Mrs. Luna. Oh, that being said, what you got for me?
Okay, let's see. So the article's titled, "My family threw me a surprise birthday party, but forgot to invite me." A person who recently celebrated their birthday was reportedly left dismayed after their family neglected to invite them to their own surprise party.
Yeah.
They had arranged, so I'm quoting this person. "They arranged a birthday party for me. They decorated the house, cooked a feast of foods, had a barbecue, and even decorated the garden. It was amazing. They just forgot to invite me to it. They had a party for my friends, basically. I had to work that evening, and after I went to a bar. I was too tired to go out dancing, so I went home, only to find out there was a full-blown party of my friends and my garden and house for my birthday without me. To make matters even more uncomfortable, the friends had naturally assumed that I would be coming home after my shift had finished at 6 p.m. and were therefore left utterly confused when I didn't turn up. The birthday, I didn't return until 10:30 that evening." And at that point, they had already cut the birthday cake.
This is why I don't like surprise parties. They're silly. It just opened you up for just sitcom fuckery. This sounds like a straight up like movie plot, like
right,
like. And here's the thing: it's you're opening yourself up for situations.
Exactly.
Like this, you know that's why we put a pink. Oh, who would possibly forget their daughter, you know, birthday or whatever, like that. Yeah. You know, like this, who would forget to invite somebody
to their own party?
Like, if you're planning a surprise party, like you're that should be number one. Okay, how are we gonna get them there?
Exactly.
But then to cut their own cake. Like, I can have in the part, but like at some point, like how horrible a friend you are. No one's like, hey, should we call her? At some point,
or the parents, like, hello.
At some point, you gotta cut the bait and say, okay, let's fuck it, ruin the surprise. Like, we gotta call them and tell them, like,
yeah,
hey, you need to get over here because we have a party for you.
No one called. Not according to what I read, no one called. They just all kept waiting for them to come home.
But they were aware that they were, that she was missing though. Like, they just not realize, like, oh, are we forgetting something?
They'll come home after their shift. And then,
Did she come home after her shift?
It was her birthday. So it was her birthday. Went to a bar.
And no one told me. That's the kind of shit I would do. Here's the thing. You know now not to throw a birthday party.
Oh, I know.
But that is, here's how much I don't like surprise parties. I'm that motherfucker. If I get an inkling that you're going to throw me something, I'll plan some other shit. Because don't fucking do that to people. You don't know. Unless you know for sure, like, this person wants us. Unless I told you, you know what? I'd really like a surprise party.
Or a party.
You know, or I'd appreciate that. If a person is, like, if you know them well enough to know that they like that kind of thing, and they would appreciate.
And I definitely did not know you.
It's not that I didn't appreciate it. It's just, it's like.
You don't like birthday parties, period.
I don't like birthday surprise. I don't like birthday parties, but a surprise party on top of that is I had one surprise party when I was a kid, and I didn't enjoy the act of being surprised.
Right.
Because I was a kid. It was either my, like, 10th or 12th birthday. I don't remember correctly. I ended up enjoying the party.
Uh-huh.
Afterwards.
Right.
After I stopped fucking crying.
Oh, no.
From the surprise, because they told me that my mom was in the hospital. I've told you this story before. Yeah. So after school, I got picked up by my uncle, mm-hmm. which you know, I don't talk too much about my childhood, but my mom was really sick my entire life. Like, mm-hmm. like it was always like every year, every Christmas, everything was going to be like the last year
right.
kind of situation. So she was in and out of the hospital
mm-hmm.
the majority of my life. So whenever I always knew she was sick because I'd either get picked up by like my grandma
mm-hmm.
or one of my uncles or my right. grandfather.
Yeah.
That's how I always knew because my dad would be at the hospital. Mm-hmm. I always knew how serious it was by who picked me up.
Right.
And here's the thing. They never knew how to tell me
mm-hmm.
was. So I just got, so it was my birthday.
Right.
I get picked up from school by my uncle, taken over to go play with my cousins.
Right.
And I'm here like, okay, something's obviously wrong.
Right, of course.
But my it's my birthday. My mom didn't pick me up from school.
Right, that's
like,
something.
Like, and no one's telling me shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And my uncle's playing it. She's like, oh, we're going to go to dinner at Peter Piper. Do you want to go with us or whatever? and no one's still, no one's mentioned anything.
Mention your mom.
My mom.
Mm-hmm.
At all. And then finally, I finally asked him, I was like, hey, where's my mom? Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, and I think I just put him on the spot. He didn't know what to say. He goes, oh, she's sick, you know, but she's going to be okay. She's in the hospital, but she's going to be okay. He goes, but we need to go by your house and pick up something, whatever. And so we get to so they were throwing the party at my house. That's why right. my uncle picked me up and took me to his house.
Oh, God.
So he could get everything ready. We roll up and there's fucking cars lying down the street.
So I'm sure your heart just...
Right, and I come from a big Mexican family. Like, the time you see that is fucking someone died.
Yeah.
So yeah, my heart fucking just dropped.
Yeah.
Into the pit of my stomach. It wasn't until I saw that one of my dad's friends worked at Bud Light and printed a giant ass fucking banner that happy birthday as I walked up the driveway. But I was, at this point, it was too late.
Yeah.
I was already bawling. I just wanted to see my mom.
Yeah.
And see that she was there. So I don't like surprise parties.
Yeah.
So when we first started, the first time we ever started, when we started dating, my first birthday, you didn't know this.
I had because no clue.
There's certain things we don't, you know,
yeah.
you as you're getting to know each other, you should share.
I try.
You tried to throw me a surprise party at a bar that we like to go to. I mean,
right.
if it would have just been like, hey, we should get together at the bar afterwards for your birthday, like I probably would have been like, hell yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Right? The thing was, you happened to throw it. It was... Chingo was in town.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it was on a weekend that Chingo was in town.
Yeah.
On my birthday, which I love performing for my birthday. Like, mm-hmm. I'll never turn down a show anywhere around my birthday.
Right.
It's what I love doing. I want to do what I love doing on my birthday.
Right.
You know, and but at that time, I was also working at Mesquite. So not only was I performing, I had to also
work.
I when I worked at Mesquite, I was in charge of everything from setting up the stage, the mm-hmm. lighting, the sound, taking tickets at the door, and then I was on the show on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was white. and we also had to break down because the next day they had a wedding in that room because it was an event center. The club doubled as an event center.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I think you had to go and talk to like the owner to make uh-huh. sure that like, he'd let me go home early.
So that you could go to your party?
Sure. And after that, like I said, not unappreciative. I was like, hey, I appreciate the effort that you took. Don't do that. I will let you know if I want to enter a party.
Yeah, that was funny. I mean, it wasn't funny, but
so I think this lady lucked out. Good for her. I'm actually happy for the lady.
Yeah.
That she fuck you, party planners. That's what you get. And you know what? I hope she rubs it in your fucking face.
What?
Every fucking year. Hey, remember the time y'all threw me a surprise party and forgot to invite me?
Yeah, that was funny.
And y'all ate my cake without me? Y'all saved me a piece, but it wasn't even a fucking corner piece. Can you imagine?
I'd be pissed, bro. Like, I'm like you. Like, okay, have the party, eat the food, whatever, but don't touch my cake.
Yeah.
Like, do whatever.
Yeah, but open her presents, too.
That'd be fucked up.
Hey, you weren't here. But
so open
must be present to win, fucker. cute. That was a cute one. But yeah, good for her. I'm glad. I definitely would have. I think she knew.
You do?
Because if she always went home, she's saying that they just assumed she would be going home.
Yeah.
After work, I think she kind of had. Because that's the other thing. I'm also pretty hard to surprise now. You know, they got me as a kid, you know, but now I feel like I'm pretty hard to surprise, you know, because like I think I told you, like even on that surprise party.
Well, that's because someone spoiled.
Yeah, someone kind of ruined it, so then you had to kind of cut bait and backtrack and. So, I think if she's anything like me, I think she kind of got an inkling and was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna go to the bar instead, and make you tell me that you're doing this party. Yeah, that's the fun of the surprise for me, is ruining the surprise.
I'm glad you didn't ruin the surprise when I tried.
No, because I love you to it.
Oh, thanks.
But these people that fucking ate her cake,
fuck them.
But yeah. All right. Well, so no surprise parties for Javi. In case anybody out there was like, I'm going to throw Javi a surprise party.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. All right, guys. anything to add, Mrs. Luna?
No.
Make sure to keep checking out the special, guys, on YouTube. Javi Luna, not for everybody, if you haven't already done that. Again, House of Blues, June 16th. Sugarland, the Lounge at 6 on the 17th. And Fort Worth, Texas, coming very, very soon. We might be even looking at some out-of-state shows coming up soon. So yeah, man. Make sure you check that out. Thank y'all for listening, man. One love.